there. Welcome to the program. Let's get started. My name is Gary Zimek, and it's my pleasure to be here with you once again. As this week, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The theme's going to be about the fact that Jesus often sees that his people, the people of his church, we lack direction. We need some help. We need a shepherd to shepherd us. And what the Lord does, what you're going to see in these readings, is he will shepherd his people. He will guide his people on a personally. He will do it on a personal level so that we can ultimately draw closer to him, and when our lives on earth are over, make it to heaven to live with him forever. He's not going to stand by and let us flounder, let us struggle in the darkness. Jesus will guide us. Now, how does he do that? Primarily, he does that through his church. But I really want to talk more about this on a personal level, share some of my experiences. Look, I've been doing full-time ministry for 12 years. I've had my share of challenges. And I think I've learned a thing or two. I want to share some things with you. Before we pray, I just want to let you know, we've been talking about this before. Things are changing for me. My wife, Eileen, who is doing well, by the way, she was diagnosed with epilepsy. That's making it necessary for us as a family to make changes. I'm no longer going to be traveling, which by the way, thank you for your donations. I really want to thank you for sustaining the ministry and sustaining me and my family. It's a difficult time. It's challenging for us. Traveling used to provide a big portion of my income when I would go and speak around the country. I can't do that anymore. But you know, I'm okay with it because I really believe this is how the Lord is calling me to follow him right now. That doesn't mean I can't speak. I just am not going to travel anymore. It's not feasible. So I'm based in South Jersey in the Philadelphia area. So I can still do parish talks, and I still plan to do that. But you know, things have changed for us. And when I shared this news with you, you responded. You've prayed for us. You've reached out with words of support, and you've donated. And I'm very grateful for that. I need you. I need the donations right now to keep the ministry going. So I thank you for doing that. I'll mention at the end of the show. Well, I'll mention it right now. What the heck? If you do want to donate to my ministry, I'd be grateful. Followingthetruth.com is the place to do that. Now, if you don't want to do it online, it's done through PayPal securely online. If you don't want to do it online, you can always just email me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. And I can give you the information of how you can donate. If you want to donate by check, a lot of people have requested to do that. I don't want to spend more time on that than I have to, but I want you to know that I appreciate it. My family appreciates it. We're very grateful for your financial support as well as your prayers. Again, we're doing well. Eileen's doing well. But, you know, this was a challenging episode for her. To have a convulsive seizure and not realize that you were prone to this, to not realize she had epilepsy, you know, it was brutal for her. She didn't get to see it. I got to see it. It was pretty scary. But again, thanks be to God, she is doing well. She's on a medication, has been fine since that initial episode. But I bring this up just to let you know that I'm not going to just overlook your support. We are incredibly grateful for your support, and also for your support of this program, for the fact that you listen to the show. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I don't see a problem continuing to do this show. I do it from home. I'll continue to do the show. I'll continue to do my daily email reflection. I'll continue to speak locally whenever I can. I'll continue to do network radio when the opportunities arise. You know, it's just some things are going to change. And I have a new book coming out for Advent. I have another book coming out after that. We'll tell you more about it as we fine tune it. But so you haven't heard the last of me, that's for sure. But things are changing. And again, the main reason I bring that up is to let you know how much I appreciate your support. But also, and we'll get into this one when we get into the bulk of the show, but also to let you know how I felt the Lord has been leading me over the years, leading me down different roads, roads which I wouldn't have taken unless he really led me down them. And this is the way I believe the Lord shepherds us. Certainly he does it through the church, but he also does it through the circumstances that we experience in our lives. And I think you need to know that, because there's a good chance that either you're going through that right now, maybe you're going through something, the Lord's leading you down a path. You might not want to go down that path. Or maybe it'll happen in the future. But I think it's a good thing to remember that the Lord Jesus will not abandon us. You know, we might not be able to see him. We might not even be able to feel him. We might not be able to hear his voice in an audible way, but it doesn't mean he's going to abandon us. I promise you, he will not abandon you. And I have seen this over and over again. But how do we have to walk? We have to walk by faith. That's where it gets challenging, by faith and not by sight. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. So God willing, I pray that I can continue to walk down this path with you for a long time to come. I absolutely love this time that we get to spend together. It means a lot to me. It uplifts me when I start talking about these messages as we look at sacred scripture and look at the Sunday Mass readings. It really uplifts me. And why don't we do this now? Why don't we pray? We're going to turn to our Father in heaven, and I'm going to ask for the grace that I need to deliver his message, and I'll lift up all of our needs as well. So if you'll join me, let's remember we are in the presence of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, I thank you for being here with us right now. As I look around, I cannot see you. Can't see you at all. I look around. I see a bookshelf. I see a table. I don't see you. But Father, through faith, I know that you are with me. And I know that you look exactly how you're supposed to look, because you're a spirit. You are pure, invisible. You can't be seen. So you look the way you should look. But I need to remember that you are with us right now, because I can't necessarily feel you. But I believe you are here. And Father, I believe that you care about our intentions. You care about what we have to say to you right now. You want to help us. You want to shepherd us, and that's why you sent your son into the world, to lead us back to you, to repair the damage that had been done by original sin. You're not about to leave us stranded and alone, Father, and we're extremely grateful for that. Father, I ask you to bless us all today, to bless our families, to keep us safe from any danger of any kind, physical, spiritual, emotional. Please, Father, through the working of your Holy Spirit, make us more aware of your presence. Make us more aware of how real you are, especially as we go through the day and run into various challenges, difficulties, problems. Please become more real to us, Father. Please provide for our needs, the needs of our family and friends, the needs of our country, of the world. We pray for our church. We pray for those who are suffering today, suffering with any number of ailments, whether they be physical, spiritual, or emotional. We pray for those souls, Father, who are most in need of your mercy, those who might be headed in the wrong direction, whose salvation might be in jeopardy. We pray for them, Father. I ask you to be merciful to them. We pray for everyone who has asked us to pray for them. We pray for all those people for whom we said we would pray. Oftentimes we forget about them. We pray for them all, Father. You know who they are. We pray for those who are struggling financially. We pray for those who are unable to find shelter. They might be homeless. Maybe they're facing eviction. Those who are dealing with natural disasters around the world. Those who are persecuted for their religious beliefs. Those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. We lift all these people up, Father. Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument today. Please give me the words. Direct my thoughts and my words so that I can deliver your message on this show. And finally, Father, please open our hearts. and our minds, so that when we hear your message today, we not only hear it the way you want us to hear it, but we put it into practice in our lives. Father, I ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. Again, I'm Gary Zimak. We do this program once each week, 30 minutes each week. We look at the Mass readings for the Sunday of the particular weekend. This week, we are looking at the Mass readings for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And I think I mentioned this last week. I don't remember, either last week or the week before. But right now, I always like to give you an idea of where we stand in the liturgical or the church year. We're about halfway right now. There are 33 Sundays in Ordinary Time, with the 34th Sunday being the Solemnity of Christ the King. So we're at week 16, so just about halfway right now. And then we enter into Advent as we begin a new church year. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves right now, but I want to let you know where we stand in terms of the liturgical cycle or the church year. Halfway, about halfway through. Important message this week. Jesus says that he will shepherd his people. And you'll hear this throughout the readings. Sometimes when we look at a reading like this, we just strictly look at the hierarchy of the church. Jesus set up a structure. He has a Holy Father, Pope Francis. He has bishops. He has priests. It's more than that. That's very important. I mean, if you're trying to look for direction in life, the first thing to do is to look to the church, to look to the teaching of the church. And one of the best ways to figure that out is to look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's a great thing to do. And when we do that, we'll know, okay, I'm trying to decide, should I do this? Should I take this job? I'm trying to think of something else. Should I contribute more to a charity? I'm trying to think of another example. Should I volunteer at my parish? One of the first things you want to do when you're trying to make this decision is look at the church's teaching. If the church established by Christ has weighed in on the matter, well, that's your answer. Simple one. Should I use birth control? Well, obviously the church says no. It is immoral to do that. It's morally wrong. Should I get an abortion? Again, morally unacceptable. And so the church weighs in on certain topics like that. That's the first course of action. But then you have these, I guess you call them gray areas. Lord, and in my particular case, it's a unique case, but you might have something that you're trying to figure out. I'm trying to buy a car now. Is it the right thing to do? You want to bring these intentions. You don't want to go crazy, but you want to bring these decisions before the Lord and let him weigh in. Trying to buy a car. Could I better use the money elsewhere? Could I give some to charity? Should I save some for the future? Is it a waste right now to do that? You know, and just give them a chance. But you look to the church first. And a lot of times the church doesn't weigh in on the particular matter. Well, then you look at other avenues to get an answer. Certainly you pray about it. I always believe in asking the Lord, Lord, I want to do your will. Here's what I'm thinking about. Please guide me, and then give it a little time if possible. Sometimes you're unable to do that, but it's always a good idea to give it time if possible. And then look for answers, either in your heart or through circumstances. What I have learned in my life is, and this is me, you know, I don't know if this is going to be the case for you, but the Lord has never spoken in an audible way to me. And he has also, in other words, I don't hear his voice the way if you're speaking to me, I can hear your voice. And also for me, the Lord has spoken more by closing doors than by opening doors. And, you know, with over the past 12 years of full-time ministry, it's been a struggle financially. And one of the, when I was first deciding, should I do this? And I was praying about this a long time. In 2012, I got laid off from my day job. So the Lord made it pretty obvious. I would not have done this on my own because I thought it would be irresponsible to my family. What if I got it wrong? You know, that's why the way I was thinking. But I got laid off, and then I was able to try full-time ministry. Never really thought it would work, I'll be honest with you. But the Lord, through, you know, he made it impossible for me to get back in the boat. I tried to get back in the boat. You know, I sort of got kicked out of the boat, but I tried to get back in. I was applying for, even though I was still pursuing full-time ministry, I did apply to get back into my field, software. I was a software developer. It just never worked out. And, you know, at the time, ministry didn't seem to be working out either. So I struggled for a while with that. But through those closed doors, the Lord kept me where I was. And eventually things began to open until around 2017, everything dried up. And I had no way to make money to provide for my family. It was looking really bleak. So I was able to apply for a parish job at a local Catholic parish. And I got hired there. And I stayed there for 15 months, which was a godsend. It really helped me until I felt the Lord was calling me back into full-time ministry. And I've been there ever since 2019. I've been working full-time. And now with my wife's recent illness, I believe the Lord is calling me to get off the road. I have no other choice. I have to stay with Eileen. I'm not going to desert her in her time of need. She needs me right now. She is more important to me than any job, even working for the Lord. And I'm sure the Lord would agree with that. So, see, he's directing me by closing certain doors. And he doesn't always open up the doors he wants me to go in right away. And I share that with you. This is all part of that shepherding process. It doesn't necessarily happen all at once or as fast as we would like. So I'm going to encourage you to be patient, to look for signs. Again, first look to the church, then pray, then look to circumstances in your life. Look for closed doors, look for open doors, and try things. Don't be irresponsible, but try things. This is the way the Lord leads us. This is the way he guides us, little by little. If you want to find out more about my ministry, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. I'll have more information about my Advent book. It will be out very soon. I'll let you know as soon as it is available. It is pre-orderable right now. The name of the book is Find Peace in Advent. It's a very similar book to Give Up Worry for Lent. It is a daily devotional, but unlike Give Up Worry for Lent, it's an Advent devotional. Every day, I have a Bible verse from the daily mass readings, then I have a reflection. So it's a way to grow closer to Jesus during the Advent season and to find the peace that he wants us to have. Followingthetruth.com is the place to find out more information about my work. Okay, let's look at these readings for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. The Gospels from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And so this is a case in point where Jesus sees that the people need direction. They need a shepherd. They're lost. Same thing exists in this world today. And so many people don't realize that Jesus is the answer, that he will shepherd us, but we've got to look to him and seek him out and then be willing to listen to his voice. And that's what before we get to these other readings, I just want you to remember about this gospel. The fact that Jesus will not leave you stranded or directionless. He wants to help you. I hope you can find comfort in that. He knows we struggle, especially when we struggle to try to do the right thing. He wants to help us. Let's look at the first reading back to the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. And what Jesus is talking about here is the people, the religious leaders who are supposed to be shepherding the people, they're not doing a good job. And this is, you know, this is God the Father speaking. It's Old Testament. And what happens when the Father speaks? The Word. He speaks through the Word. And this is a reference to Jesus. So this ties in Remember, the Word existed from the beginning. The second person of the Trinity, the Word, existed. But at a specific point in time, the Word became flesh, and He was born, and His name was Jesus. But the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, He always existed. And that's hard for us to wrap our brain around. But when we look at this first reading, we see the Word of God speaking. Jeremiah 23:1-6. Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people, you have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them, but I will take care to punish your evil deeds. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands to which I have driven them and bring them back to their meadow. There they shall increase and multiply. I will appoint shepherds for them who will shepherd them, so they need no longer fear and tremble, and none shall be missing, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up, now listen to this, a righteous shoot to David. As king, he shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell in security. This is the name they give him, the Lord our justice. Now, obviously, if you look at this, you probably can see a reference to Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's coming. And this is the promise from God to his people, the people who don't yet have their Savior. He's not going to leave them to their own, on their own. He's going to send a shepherd, a good shepherd. The responsorial psalm, I think this is, and I believe this is documented, the most popular psalm. It's also my personal favorite. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. He's going to give you whatever you need, especially, and this is hard for us to grasp, especially the grace and the direction you need to be able to live with him forever in heaven. That's the main thing that we all need. We need that grace and that direction so we know what we need to do and how we need to cooperate with God's grace in order to make it to heaven, where we're going to live forever with him. Let's look at the second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have become near by the blood of Christ. You see that reference to reconciling the people with God? For he is our peace. He who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, thus establishing peace and might reconcile both with God in one body through the cross, putting that enmity to death by it. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. Isn't that great? In Jesus, you and I have the ability to call God Father, because we were adopted by him. And because of Jesus coming to earth, he repaired the damage that was done by original sin, and he made it possible for us to one day live forever in heaven. That's what a good shepherd does. A good shepherd isn't afraid to get dirty. A good shepherd isn't afraid to suffer for the well-being of his sheep. And that's what these readings are all about today. Jesus will guide you. He will save you. He will bring you closer to himself, closer to your Father in heaven, and ultimately he's going to guide you safely to your heavenly home. The trick is, you've got to follow him. I've got to follow him. And all these little decisions, I was talking about buying a car, switching jobs, deciding whether to retire, all these little, seemingly little decisions, they're actually important. I mean, sometimes the Lord does have an opinion as to what we should do. So I believe we should always give him a chance. Lord, should I do this right now? Is this what you want me to do? And that obedience to following God's will, that's going to please him. And ultimately, you'll get your reward one day. You'll get your heavenly reward. But you will never be left alone and stranded. You might have to flounder a little bit. That's just the way it is in this life. This isn't heaven. But sometimes you got to figure things out with God's help. It's going to take some effort. It sometimes doesn't happen all at once. Be persistent. Don't give up. He will provide. He will show you the way, okay? It's a great message. You know, I needed to hear that today because there's some decisions I'm trying to make now. Like, okay, so now I'm not traveling. How am I going to provide for my family? And that's what me and the Lord are working out right now. And as we close, you know, I don't like to keep harping on the money. But first of all, if you have contributed to my ministry, I can't thank you enough. I'm very grateful. You are certainly in my prayers every day. As I pray for everyone, whether they contribute or not, but I'm especially grateful for those who have helped me and continue to sustain this full-time ministry and help to provide for my family. If you'd like to contribute to my ministry, you can do so by going to followingthetruth.com. You just click on donate. It's done securely through PayPal. Whether you become a one-time sponsor, make a one-time donation, or a monthly sponsor, I appreciate it all. And know that if you're a listener of this program, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Please, again, continue to pray for me and my family. Thanks so much for listening. God willing, we'll be back here and we'll do it again next week. Have a great week. God bless.